Friday Books with Aaron, Polly, and Wayne. I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
And this is Wayne.
Welcome, guys. Welcome.
It feels like it's been forever.
It has been forever because Paul went out and watched a golf ball sporting match thing last week.
I did. We were at the Ryder Cup. We were not the ones throwing insults or beer at the European players and their wives. Jen is actually more fan of the European golfers than the American golfers. So
I just feel like maybe you were. I feel like maybe, you know.
On the record, I was not. No, it was a great time. We really enjoyed ourselves.
It was stunning to me, Paul, to look at your Instagram and see Paul wearing, you know, golf enjoyment attire. You know, he's got his golfing shirt on. He's got his little golf visor on. You know, he's following the golfers around the course. I'm just like, who is this? I don't think it's Paul. I think there has been some sort of alien body swapping thing.
Well, let's be clear. You know, this was Jen's trip. Uh-huh. So,
This is Jen's trip. I'd like to point out that Paul was smiling and having a good time in each of the pictures.
I was. It was all-inclusive food and beverage. Yeah. No, it was a good time. So Jen loves watching the PGA Tour and golfing and things like that. So
why?
You know, you can tell we weren't at a theme park, so it was not. It was not the Paul choice.
It was not a Paul choice. I just feel like the Paul I know would have spent the entire time upset that he is losing prime Halloween time.
Oh, I mean, that's not to say I wasn't. However, I mean, I did find two things to do. One within the Halloween culture. We went to, the Ryder Cup was out on Long Island, New York. And there's a restaurant there that I've been seeing on social media for years now called the Haunted House of Hamburgers. it's exactly like it sounds. It's a restaurant that's all Halloween decorated year long. They've got like little animatronics. They've got stuff in the front. They've got, themed dishes and cocktails and stuff like that. So we got out to the Haunted House of Hamburgers. And we also found in time to go see a play on Broadway. We went to see
Waiting for Godot. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that you had the playbill and that you were attending. That looks like a fantastic production.
It really was. And, you know, Wayne, one of the main things that interested me about this iteration was that it starred Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter.
Interesting.
And yes, they did find a way to inject a Wild Stallions reference into the show. So that made the audience and myself very happy.
See, I'm just happy you went where you intended to go, Paul, because that's more than I can say for this weekend. Because my weekend started off with me getting incredibly excited for a convention coming to town that has a lot of people I want to meet. Like, John Rhys-Davies from Sliders and Gimli and, Indiana Jones and... It's like all of these really interesting people, and I got up early, got dressed, went outside after a week of, doing way too much socializing, and drove downtown. I hate downtown. Only to get there, find a parking space finally, and look at my messages and have someone say, I thought that was next weekend. It indeed is next weekend, not this weekend.
Wow.
Wayne.
I could have stayed home, laid around with the dogs, relaxed. But no, I got up and I went downtown.
That's awful.
It is.
Why do bad things happen to good people and Wayne? Yeah, I'm sorry. That does sound legitimately awful.
I would be so irrationally angry. I don't think I'd go to a comic convention for like another 2 years.
Yeah.
Just because of that lesson.
I was incredibly angry at myself. Very angry at myself.
Were you walking out of there? Fuck you, Wayne. Fuck you, Wayne.
I will say my response to the two people I had mentioned I was going, who both sent me the messages of, I thought it was next weekend, was, well, fuck.
Yeah. Good Lord. Well, I have been enjoying my back patio with the inclusion of my new 4K big screen television on the wall there. And I was amused last night because, you know, my neighbors, you know, who are all out watching their, you know, large screen televisions on their patios, you know, have all got like, you know, sports and whatnot going on. And I fire mine up and what do they hear? The opening theme to Masterpiece Theater.
I thought for sure it was going to be Star Wars.
Well, I was watching Wolf Hall, so yeah. Anyway.
Man, I haven't heard the Masterpiece Theater.
Blasting up the neighborhood.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's been decades since I've heard Masterpiece Theater.
Well, I just need to move in next to yeah, Aaron.
That's right. And watch it over the fence. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I was watching. But, you know, there is so much quality television on right now. So very much quality television on right now. Like, and I know neither one of you guys have started it yet, but, you know, just finished Alien Earth last week. And my God, I can't wait for season two. That show was fantastic. Looking forward to being able to talk to you guys about it because, wow, great stuff. And then, you know, we've got Peacemaker season two currently running. And, you know, we are one more episode to the season ender. And that show has just been fantastic. And Wayne, I know you're watching, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fully caught up.
Yeah, it is. I hope you're enjoying it because I'm just getting a huge kick out of this show.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely love it. I'm not sure how they're going to wrap it up in the finale. Yeah. But this week's episode, the start of it, and I'm going to give a spoiler here. So I hope Paul's caught up. Paul never watched season one.
I only ever saw the first episode. So spoil away.
So I had caught on as the season went on about how the other world that Peacemaker is in didn't seem to have anybody of color. And there's all these, like, little clues as you go on. But then they do their big reveal in the episode before this one of the U.S. flag with the Nazi symbol on it.
Right.
And that we're on Earth X, the Nazi one. I thought at the time, it's okay, well, Peacemaker's in this world that he gets all of his dreams come true. It's not that big of a deal that he missed out on a few clues. And then Gunn doubles down.
Yeah.
And we start at the beginning of this one with Hardcore actually pointing out all these things and points to a mural that covers the wall of Hitler.
Like, you didn't notice that.
I missed that. Yeah.
Great. The show's fantastic. And, you know, when he first arrives on Earth X, it was giving off very Mountain Home, Arkansas vibes to me because, you know, when I visited Mountain Home, Arkansas for a Christmas vacation several years back, my wife and I were in town going, there's something weird about this town. What is it? And it wasn't until, you know, we were sitting in traffic one day and looking around and realized there wasn't a single non-white person anywhere to be seen. And I was like, oh, we're in the Twilight Zone. There are no people of color here at all. You know, it's just crazy, you know, how when you've, you know, grown up in a cultural melting pot that you go somewhere that's so homogenized, it is unsettling.
It is. I'm really enjoying on this season getting to know some of these characters. Like Judo Master this past episode.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely love him. And we never really got much of his personality in the previous season.
Yeah. He was just little and obnoxious.
Yeah.
And into Cheetos. I think, you know, Vigilante this season has been much more enjoyable. I chafed in the first season because, you know, I was a fan of the original Vigilante run, you know, back in the 80s. And, you know, really chafed at how ridiculous they were making the character. But I got to say, you know, I'm really leaning into it this season and him meeting himself. I was intensely surprised that at no point with him meeting his doppelganger that it didn't wind up becoming sexual. You know, I'm like, you know, this is James Gunn writing this. Anything's on the table. I just kind of felt like we'd cut into a scene and the two of them are playing with each other. You know, I really felt like that was going to happen. But I got to say them, you know, descending into the Spider-Man meme, you know, I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, he was actually one of the issues I had early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted him in costume and doing things.
Yeah.
And we didn't get any of that until he goes into the mirror world. And then we get to see him be badass again.
Yeah.
So I was missing the costume. I was missing him being, you know, more than just the comedy relief. And last two episodes, we got that.
Yeah. I really enjoyed him yelling at his mother, you know, as they were going off to his, you know, secret lair under his mother's house, you know, in the basement where he keeps all of his seized drugs and drug money.
Yeah,
you know, money. Just this gigantic basement full of cocaine.
He is poor and borrowing money because he won't use any of it because it's blood money.
Yeah. Yeah. All the characters are great this season. I'm deeply enjoying this show.
Yeah. I love Judo. Just that conversation. Like, you get all of this action, but then you get a conversation with, I will not even try to pronounce her name, and Judo Hardcore. Master. No.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Abs.
Yeah, gotcha.
You get their conversation about relationships and how maybe she's the one that's being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I just enjoy those little down moments too.
Yeah, no, it really is an extremely well written show, and you know James Gunn has said that you know the last three episodes of this season tie heavily into what's coming in the DC universe, and you know we've seen that with you know the Lex Luthor cameo, one of his scientists from the Superman movie shows up this episode. So real curious to see how all of this wraps up because I'm really very much enjoying Peacemaker.
Yep.
And the opening music works for me. I didn't fall in love with it until episode two, but I finally got there.
I have been skipping it because I did not care for it.
Oh, you got to give yourself a moment. I did not care for it in episode one. I really dug it in episode two. But anyway, good show.
Well, so, Paul, something you have seen.
Yeah, well, you know, I actually, you know, Aaron mentioned my trip to New York last weekend. This was my plane viewing, was all four episodes of Marvel Zombies. Because they're, you know, 35 to 40 minutes. But that includes, you know, 3 to 5 minutes of credits and stuff as well. So Marvel Zombies, you know, spooky season is here. I was very excited about the prospect of Marvel Zombies, even though the What If episode was fine. It didn't, you know, blow my mind. You know, I actually liked the original Marvel Zombies comic series. And so I was pretty interested in this iteration. All animated, TVMA, so they lean into the gore.
Unlike What If, because What If is only like, the equivalent of
TV-14, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so this Marvel Zombies very much focused on characters that were introduced in the phase, the current phase of the MCU, right? So it focuses on, I forget, the new Black Widow. I forget her name.
Yelena.
It focuses on Riri. It focuses on Miss Marvel. You know, like, it focuses on Kate Bishop. So, like, you know, characters that are, and Shang-Chi. So, like, more characters that have been introduced or into the MCU in recent years, more so than some of the previous characters. So, Wayne, I have seen all four episodes. Aaron, I know you've only seen the first three. I don't know that I liked Marvel Zombies.
I loved it until the end. And then I felt mind the end. I felt so let down, such a non-end.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, so, you know, I mean, I see enough horror movies that, like, a twist ending, which this one did, you know, had an ending that was a bit of a downer. You know, I didn't mind. But the show itself, for me, unlike, it's not the story that, I don't feel like it was a story that needed to be told with the Marvel Zombies. And what I mean by that is, the zombies aspect of the show, like the fact that it was zombies, really only played into like 10-15% of the show. Like ultimately it's another Wanda's gone evil, trying to take over the world kind of story. But like because the zombies in this iteration, or you know, the lead zombies are all kind of like smart zombies, Wanda, Hawkeye, like I don't feel like there was a dependence on this show being about zombies versus like the original iteration of Marvel Zombies, the original comic series, you know, succeeded because it was you know, freaking zombies. It was, you know, Walking Dead, Night of the Living Dead, whatever, but yeah, with superheroes. Same with the original iterations of things like DC versus vampires and those types of things. This told basically, for me, a standard Marvel template story, just with the backdrop of some zombies.
So the original Marvel Zombies comic was comedic. It had a lot of comedy to it that this did not. It had the characters, I remember when they ate, they would get a little bit more of their minds back and start to feel guilty about what they were doing. Where here, we weren't telling the story from the perspective of the zombies. We're telling it from the perspective of survivors. We didn't get any of that. Like, you have, Hawkeye still has all of his skills and he obviously has intelligence.
Yeah.
But you don't get the same level of conversation that you did.
You don't get the same level of complexity, I think, with the, you know, like for me, again, you know, this was your standard Marvel template. Like, there's a bad guy. In this case, it's Wanda, which we've already seen. We kind of already saw a similar story in whatever, the Multiverse of Madness, you know, with Wanda going evil.
Well, and in the Marvel Zombies episode of What If? And that's where I get really confused. They describe the series, I thought, was its own standalone thing, and it felt like it at first.
No, but it was very much once it, yeah, got to a point where it definitely needed that What If.
Yeah, and it is a spinoff of that What If episode, and that's the part that confused me when I started watching, because it's like, it did not feel like that at first.
Yeah,
so Aaron, I'm sorry, you were, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first episode. Episodes 2 and 3 just did not excite me like episode 1 did, and that's why I haven't watched episode 4. I will watch episode 4, but I didn't feel pushed to jump into that I did after episode 1. I was like, oh man, I gotta watch episode 2 now.
Yeah,
because I thought the first episode queued everything up beautifully.
Yeah, episode 1, I loved Kate Bishop, Riri, and Kamala's interactions. I like, Riri was so much better in that than she was in her own series.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I agree with you, Aaron. I think for me, I liked the first episode, and I know you haven't seen the fourth episode, but I think the fourth episode was relatively strong. The two in the middle, ultimately, as I was watching the show, like I said, each episode somewhere around 30 to 33 minutes, give or take. I think with trimming, they should have just released this as a movie.
Yeah.
For me, I think that probably, like, even though I watched them back to back, the episodic nature of it basically led to the middle two episodes really just kind of being a bit of a slog or a bit repetitive, right? Like, go here. Oh no, here's not good. Go here. Oh no, here's not good. You know, and I think it those types of things tend to get a bit repetitive, especially when it's every episode.
Yeah, right? They wanted to give the backstory of where Shang-Chi and Jimmy Woo and all them had been, but I didn't need that whole storyline at the raft. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel necessary. It felt really out of place. Like, it was stretching the story on in ways it didn't need to.
Yeah. For me, the best thing about Marvel Zombies is that Shang-Chi and Katie have found a way to share the powers of the Ten Rings. And when they showed, like, when Awkwafina's character, when they showed that, like, in their little Mad Max, weird Mad Max montage thing that they had, I was like, okay, that's pretty badass. I really hope that's something they implement in the movie, to find a way to tie those characters together, because I really actually liked that idea. Other than that, I think
Marvel Zombies is relatively throwaway. I love that they let them still be friends, too. That they didn't immediately go to a romance between them in the post-apocalyptic world. They still are adamantly just friends.
Yeah. It felt like they were checking boxes by making the show instead of developing a product that was actually, you know, they were actually passionate about. And I hate to say that because I'm sure there were people who had passion about it. And Disney's advertising of it was excellent. The commercials for it, the trailers for it were great. They even had a live event where they had cosplayers dress as the Marvel Zombies that looked awesome. But like, the actual series itself for me was a bit of a throwaway. Not bad, not particularly good.
The first episode was great.
Yeah, it really
absolutely
was.
Absolutely loved the first episode. The second two were okay for me. It felt a little unnecessary for some of the stories. Episode 4, I hated the ending. Really? I felt like when they get to the ending, they gave us a non-ending. They gave us confusion around what's going on with Kamala and what happens next. It didn't feel like anything got wrapped up.
Oh, that's because nothing did. Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, I wanted a wrap up. Even if the wrap up is, you know, showing us what horrible things are going to come next, that would have been fine with me. I just wanted more of a wrap up and not one of those wishy-washy, unclear endings.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I do. And I can see that ending, I mean, apparently the ending's, you know, controversial in as much as people are kind of feeling the same way you are. Just because of, you know, my horror experience, it didn't catch me. I mean, I was surprised at how it ended, but it didn't bother me. But I also, if this was, let me be clear, like, if this was intended to be an unhappy ending, I'm fine with it. If it was intended to be a cliffhanger, I'm not sure I care enough to continue for season two regardless. So, you know, like, I think it was ineffective as an ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a bummer.
Not having seen it, but I will tell you that a lot of what you guys are describing and how you're feeling is how I felt about episodes 2 and 3, that I was just like, meh, you know, I felt like they did not build on what was promised in the first episode.
I think if I wasn't watching it on a plane, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have finished it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, because I was already like, okay, well, I'm sitting in this seat for the next 2 hours. I downloaded this thing to watch. Let me just watch it. Right. Yeah. I think that's ultimately why I ended up finishing it. So, yeah, I mean, it was fine. It just, I was hopeful. And I think it's not, I don't, like I said, it's just not the story that I was hoping to see.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. You know, like, give me, if you're going to do a Marvel zombie movie, do the Marvel zombie movie.
I have a hard time getting excited about smart zombies. I think the effective way to utilize a zombie is that they're a force of nature, you know, that they're, you know, they're motivated by instinct, maybe some remembered habits, you know, but not certainly not personality.
And one of the things about the original Marvel Zombies that was such a gut punch are those early scenes in it where, and this is the comic, not the mm-hmm. show, where Spider-Man, after eating, remembers eating Aunt May. And just seeing that, you know, blame and guilt and struggle, where they are instinct and violent creatures until they get their minds back for a few moments mm-hmm. and then have to remember everything they've done. That was an interesting twist on zombies I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
We didn't get any of that.
No. Nah. So, oh, well. Well, you know, let's talk about some comic books. Because this week is the last week, gentlemen, where we live in a world where DCKO has not been released. That sounds like I'm really hyping it up. I'm really not. I'm just letting you know it comes out next week, and we're building up to it. Because this week, Justice League The Omega Act Special came out leading up to the big DCKO crossover. Last week, we had two books, Superman issue 30 and Justice League Unlimited issue 11. You know, and they're all building towards DCKO. And, you know, I'm still unsure of what we're going to see in DCKO. I know we know we're going to see Darkseid. I don't know. Are we going to see the absolute characters interact with the regular DC Universe characters?
I have concerns about DCKO. The setup that we're seeing in Superman number 30, Justice League Unlimited, this week's special, whatever the hell it was called.
Omega Act, yeah.
Thank you. You know, I think they're all, you know, really setting a stage. And while I love the idea of the brackets for the big competition that's going to happen to create the ultimate fighting champion in the DC universe to, I guess, fight Darkseid. I love it from, you know, our experience doing brackets on this show. I don't know that I want to read that. I don't know that I want to read vignette after vignette after vignette. Because, I mean, if you've looked at that, I mean, that's a lot of matches, right? Mm-hmm. To get to the ultimate chapter. And it just reminds me of the contest of champions from way back when and on the Marvel side of things. And I never thought that was particularly successful. I thought what was more successful was the original Secret Wars. But that original, you know, Contest of Champions that Marvel did was not. Now, I think it's really got a good foundation. These books leading into what we're going to see in KO is kind of exciting. And I've even enjoyed the KO preview pages. It just seems a weird way to go that we have to go through this, you know, very structured sporting event to get to someone who can fight off Darkseid.
I don't understand it. I don't understand why they're doing a bracket fighting to pick only one person to go fight him. I don't know what the structure is. I haven't read the preview pages, so I am left utterly confused about what DC KO even is.
Mm-hmm.
I do too, but I think for me, that's not a detractor. Like, because what I mean, like, I honestly feel like maybe I'll be surprised. Like, yeah, I'm getting strong Final Crisis vibes.
Yeah,
I've mentioned this before. In all this buildup, even though that was more multiversal in nature, and this is a bit more time in nature, it's a bit of both, right? This one's probably mm-hmm. time and multiverse. I get strong Final Crisis vibes, which of course makes sense. It's they're both dark side and, you know, kind of thing. But, the last week's books, Superman number 30 and Justice League Unlimited, I've been said this a few times. I've really enjoyed that they released those books simultaneously because they have felt tied together and it feels like I'm reading a cohesive universe, to the point that both books ended at the same point, which is mm-hmm. where Superman and Booster Gold have escaped the Legion of Darkseid from the future. And, you know, are going to the Watchtower, which leads directly into the Omega X special, where the Watchtower has, you know, we still have the Time Trapper, Timekeeper, Time Trapper?
Trapper Keeper.
Yeah, Time Trapper Keeper.
Time Trapper.
Time Trapper, you know, in the Watchtower. And this kind of picks up from that moment where he basically is saying that the heroes needs to work with the heroes to, you know, to combat Darkseid. But there's a brief interlude where the Flash and Booster Gold team up with the Time Trapper to take on the Legion of Darkseid in the future, and a flashback which I actually kind of liked, where Lara, Superman's mom, and Ursa, are best friends before they've gone their separate ways to the academy or the military, and they uncover, you know, kind of. There's a preview, or they get a glimpse of Doomsday, you know, in as he's being created, right? I liked that that retcon a bit, and I actually enjoyed this Omega Act book.
I did too. In fact, I'll go on record as saying that the last 2 weeks in comics have been some of the best of this year. The 2 weeks prior, I was like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm not enjoying anything I'm reading, you know, and that happens every now and again. But I mean, I was grossly dissatisfied in the books I picked up, the 2 weeks prior to this. But the last two Wednesdays have been great, particularly for the DC books. In fact, I gotta tell you, my Marvel books have really kind of stunk up the place. But the DC books have just been fantastic.
I think DC is definitely.
I am not enjoying the storyline at all. I'm not a Darkseid guy, and this is building up to a big Darkseid confrontation. But I hate.
If you hold a second, I'm just going to remove you from the conversation.
I still hate that they made Doomsday Time Trapper because I like the character and I like all of the other reveals over the years of who the Time Trapper was, none of them being Doomsday. This is just not a version of the character I like. I did enjoy Flash going with them to this future. In the issue, and the issue wasn't bad or anything.
Well, I like that they, you know, they try to escape to the future because they're like, okay, we have to go check out the stuff in the future. And Flash is like, hey, I'm coming with you, and because I have I just like that they didn't know that he was going to do that. But Flash, but it was just like for me, it's one of those. Of course, Flash would be able to see what they're doing and jump on board with them.
Yeah, and he's not freezing time. He's slowing it down. He's established that. So Flash, it made sense for Flash. I loved that. And like you guys, I did like the Laura and Ursa story in the past. It was interesting seeing them go somewhere where it looked like there were the Doomsday Dogs, which I hate the Doomsday Dogs, but finding the place where Doomsday could have been created.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm not looking forward to this KO competition. It doesn't make sense to me. I like what I've read over in the Absolute world. I would rather it just exist on its own separate and not be leading to a confrontation. And I really hate Time Trapper as Doomsday.
Yeah.
I really hate Doomsday as Time Trapper myself. I'm enjoying the story despite that. And while I have concerns about KO because of the bracket feature, you know, it seems like it's going to be formulaic. You know, round one, yeah. Round two, you know, yada, yada. I at the same time, I'm like, I'm really curious to see how this plays out. You know, seeing a giant, you know, kaiju sized dark side fighting across, you know, the cityscape of Metropolis looks like a lot of fun. You know, I like Galactus sized dark side.
Agreed. And Wayne, I actually have two recommendations for you that we're not talking about on the podcast, but Absolute Evil number one, which is basically the main villains of the Absolute Universe, you know, kind of forming their own. I won't ruin it because the ending is actually kind of cool, but forming their own thing, worth picking up. You also get your real first glimpses of who the Joker is in the Absolute Universe in that book. Ooh. And it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, that alone is enough reason for me to pick it up, because I am curious what they'll do with Joker and Absolute.
It's very different than I expected, in a good way. But Wayne, the book that you know, we're not talking about it today, but it feels like it was custom written for you, is Batman number two.
Oh, I read it.
Oh, right? So, I don't know. Aaron, did you read Batman number two?
I picked it up. I haven't had a chance to read it, but you boys talk amongst yourselves.
It's not even on the outline, but I'm like, this is like the best Tim Drake book I've read in years.
Yeah, there's flashbacks to Tim learning how to drive. There's Tim alone after being shot in a truck with all the villains, and he's the one that walks out of it.
Yeah, handcuffed and shot.
Yeah.
You know, because what we're dealing with now is that Vandal Savage is the new commissioner of police, which, yes, we've read, you know, the police against Batman before, but I do, the way it was told in this story was really good, and it's been a while since I've had good Tim Drake, and I thought this book was good Tim Drake.
Yeah, Tim Drake, well shot, driving the Batmobile to save Batman, who's been shot.
Yeah.
There was a lot of the heroes getting shot in this book.
Yeah. But highly recommend if you are a Tim Drake Robin fan.
That's actually why I picked this up and then went back and got the first issue, was I read the preview pages with Tim. And this is the most random thing, Paul. I love the bat spikes.
I love the, you know, so there's an image of, so Batman has thrown some spikes across the ground to, you know, cause a vehicle to get flat tires.
Yeah. But he's picking them up. Yeah, which are like the police spikes that pop up to break tires, except they're like little batarangs.
Little batarangs. But so the artist on this book is Jorge Jimenez, right? He's the current artist on this book. And the image of him picking up the spikes, I don't know. Like, I was like, wow, that is a badass image. Like, the art on this book is so good. I mean, I know we're only two issues in on this Batman run, but it's starting off strong. I'm really digging it. And yeah, it kind of goes back to what Aaron said. Like, I'm really digging what DC's doing right now. I think they're kind of firing on a lot of cylinders.
I love that whole page, Paul. You have the bat spikes that are like a strip, which I don't know why I love that so much, but I do. And then you follow it up with Batman opening the back of the truck and Tim sitting there on top of the pile of knocked out villains. That whole page was great.
Yeah, lots of good stuff. I mean, pretty strong week in comics leading up to next week's books, Aaron.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What's coming out next week?
Well, I'm glad you brought it up. DC KO issue one comes out next week. Actually, next week is a pretty big week for multiple comic companies. We've got DC KO from DC Comics. From DC Comics, we have Absolute Batman issue 13, which is not only the final showdown with Bane, but also the first real appearance of Absolute Catwoman in the book. definitely worth getting caught up if you're running behind on that book. It's excellent. From Image Comics, we get Transformers issue 25, which is
big the start issue.
Big issue. Start of the new creative team. Robert Kirkman and on writing, Dan Mora on art. You know, taking over as the new creative team of Transformers. I'm very, very excited to read it. Wayne, I know we got preview copies. I haven't read it yet, but I plan to. And I'm looking forward to talking about it next week. From Marvel Comics, we have a couple of interesting books. J. Michael Straczynski is writing a new Spider-Man miniseries, Amazing Spider-Man Torn. J. Michael Straczynski is back, but this time he's digging into a very different part of Spidey history. Jump back with us to Peter's college days at Empire State University with Gwen, Harry, MJ, and Flash, but not everything is rosy and happy as a new evil rears its head in a way that's sure to impact Peter's future.
No!
You know, that all probably varies depending on how you felt about JMS's run on Amazing Spider-Man.
I, for one, yes, it had one of the worst stories ever told in Spider-Man, but I don't blame him for that. He was mandated to. I loved his run prior to that, though. I think it was, there were some
great the Ezekiel stories. Stuff and the web Aunt of
May,
life or whatever.
Yeah, Aunt May knowing and his just the reaction with Aunt May, all of that was great. So I'm picking this up definitely because I like how he writes Peter.
So we've got that. And for Marvel Comics, we have Jimmy Palmiotti and Dan Panosian on Marvel Knights Punisher, issue 1 of 5, new miniseries. You know, I don't know what version of continuity this one is based out of. I don't know if it's based in that world to come continuity or if it's its own thing. I'm curious about it. It's got a pretty solid creative team. So I may check out the first issue on that, even though I did not necessarily care for, I did not at all care for the world to come issue 1 when we read that one. And finally, the Event Horizon Dark Descent continues from ID. You know, we talked about,
talk about that. Did we talk about that on the show?
We did actually talk about it on the show. Okay. Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah. I really enjoyed issue 1. So
I did too. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing, you know, if they continue with the same level of creepiness as we get into the second issue.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was good and creepy.
Yes. All right. So all that and more next week.
Very good. Well, hey, we want to know what you thought about this week's books, how you're feeling about the KO story coming up. Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if we use your comments on the show, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
Well, very good. Well, get your brackets ready, Paul. Get your brackets ready.
Yeah, get your fists up and get your brackets ready. Next week, we have DC KO.
That's right. And you got to lock them down before Wednesday because it's not fair to do that after Wednesday.
Fair point.
For the first round, anyway.
No cheating.
No cheaters. Wayne.
Cheaters never prosper.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
All right. Catch you then. Bye.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.